వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా. శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అథ స్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Sri Sai Ram, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Dasara greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and with me Team Radio Sai's Sunil welcoming you to this morning segment Divine Glory on Thursday live from Prashanthi Nilayam. Today is the 3rd of October 2019, and here in Prashanthi Nilayam it is the second day of the week-long Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna going on in the Purnachandra Auditorium. In the mornings and in the evenings, we are having the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. You can watch and listen to this live on Radio Sai's YouTube channel and also in Asia Stream of Radio Sai. Let me now read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. How should we benefit from the sacred and holy occasion of Dasara? Let us listen to Bhagwan for his crystal clear message to us today, and I quote: when forces of injustice, immorality and untruth grow to monstrous proportions and indulge in a death dance, when selfishness and self-interest are rampant, when men and women have lost all sense of kindness and compassion, the atmic principle, assuming the form of divine, emerges to destroy the evil elements. This is the inner meaning of the Dasara festival. Each one must decide for themselves whether they are Ravana or Rama according to the qualities they manifest in daily living. Who is Ravana and what are his 10 heads? Kama, lust, krodha, anger, moha, delusion, lobha, greed, mada, pride, matsarya, envy, manas, the mind, buddhi, the intellect, chitta, the will, and ahankara, the ego. These 10 constitute the 10 heads. Arrogance is a demon. Bad thoughts are demons. Rama is the destroyer of the bad qualities. During the 10 days of Dasara, you must pray to God to destroy all the wicked traits present in you. Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on October 18, 1991. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 51 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by the first part of a conversation with Professor Mrs. Hemalata, the former principal of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus, and in conversation with her is Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. But first, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book, and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Bhimaji Patil. One Bhimaji Patil of Narayan Gaon, Taluka Junnar, District Pune, suffered in the year 1909 from a severe and chronic chest disease, which ultimately developed into tuberculosis. He tried all sorts of paths, but to no effect. Losing all hope, he ultimately prayed to God, "O Lord Narayan, help me now." It is a well-known fact that when our circumstances are well, we do not remember God. But when calamities and adversities overtake us, we are reminded of Him. So, Bhimaji now turned to God. It occurred to him that he should consult Mr. Nana Sahib Chandorkar, a great devotee of Baba, in this regard. So he wrote to him a letter giving all the details of his malady and asking for his opinion. In reply, Mr. Nana Sahib wrote to him that there was only one remedy left, and that was to have recourse to Baba's feet. Relying on Mr. Nana Sahib's advice, he made preparations for going to Shirdi. He was brought to Shirdi and taken to the masjid and placed before Baba. Mr. Nana Sahib and Shama were present there, and Baba pointed out that the disease was due to the previous evil karma and was not disposed to interfere. But the patient cried out in despair that he was helpless and sought refuge in him as he was his last hope and prayed for mercy. Baba's heart melted and he said, "Stay, cast off your anxiety. Your sufferings have come to an end. However, oppressed and troubled one may be, as soon as he steps in the masjid, he is on the pathway to happiness. The fakir here is very kind, and he will cure the disease and protect all with love and kindness." The patient used to vomit blood every 5 minutes, but there was no vomiting in the presence of Baba. From the time Baba uttered the words of mercy, the malady took a favorable turn. Baba asked him to stay in Bhima Bhai's house, which was not a convenient and fit place. But Baba's order had to be obeyed. While he was staying there, Baba cured him by 2 dreams. In the first dream, he saw himself as a boy, suffering the severe pain of a flogging which he received for not reciting his poetry lesson before his class master. In the second dream, someone caused him intense pain by rolling a stone up and down over his chest. With the pain thus suffered in dream, his cure was complete, and he went home. He then often came to Shirdi, gratefully remembering what Baba did for him and prostrated before him. Baba also did not expect anything from devotees but remembrance, unswerving faith and devotion. People in Maharashtra always celebrate Satyanarayan Puja in their homes every fortnight or month, but it was this Bhimaji Patil who started a new Sai Satyavrata Puja instead of Satyanarayan Vrata Puja in his house when he returned to his village. Bala Ganpat Shimpi. Another devotee of Baba by name Bala Ganpat Shimpi suffered much from a malignant type of malaria. He tried all sorts of medicines and decoctions, but in vain. The fever did not reduce at all, and he ran to Shirdi and fell on Baba's feet. Baba gave him a strange recipe, in this case as follows. Give a black dog some morsels of rice mixed with curd in front of the Lakshmi temple. Bala did not know how to execute this recipe, but no sooner he went home, he found rice and curd. After mixing them together, he brought the mixture near the Lakshmi temple when he found a black dog waving its tail. He placed the curd and rice before the dog. The dog ate it, and strange to say, Bala got rid of his malaria. Bapu Sahib Bhoti. Sriman Bapu Sahib Bhoti suffered once from dysentery and vomiting. His cupboard was full of patent drugs and medicines, but none of them had any effect. Bapu Sahib got very weak on account of purgings and vomiting, and therefore was not able to go to the masjid for Baba's darshan. Baba then sent for him and made him sit before him and said, "Now, take care. You should not purge anymore." And gestured with his index finger. "The vomiting must also stop," he said. Now look at the power of Baba's words. Both the maladies disappeared and Bhoti felt well. On another occasion, he had an attack of cholera and suffered from severe thirst. Dr. Pillai tried all sorts of remedies, but could give him no relief. Then he went to Baba and consulted him as what to drink that would allay his thirst and cure the disease. Baba prescribed an infusion of almonds, walnuts, pistachio, boiled in sugared milk. This would be considered a cause for fatal aggravation of the disease by any other doctor or physician. But in implicit obedience to Baba's order, the infusion was administered, and strange to say, the disease was cured. Alandi Swami. A Swami from Alandi, with a desire to take Baba's darshan, came to Shirdi. He suffered from a severe pain in his ear, which prevented him from getting the sleep. He was operated for this, but it served no purpose. The pain was severe and he did not know what to do. While he was returning, he came to take Baba's leave when Shama requested Baba to do something for the pain in the Swami's ear. Baba comforted him, saying, "Allah achha karega." The Swami then returned to Pune and after a week sent a letter to Shirdi stating that the pain in his ear had subsided, though the swelling was there, and in order to get the swelling removed, he went to Mumbai for an operation, but the surgeon on examining the ear said no operation was necessary. Such was wonderful and potent effect of Baba's words. Kaka Mahajani. Another devotee named Kaka Mahajani suffered once from diarrhea. In order that there should be no break in his services to Baba, Kaka kept a pot with water in some corner of the masjid, and whenever there was a call, he would go out. As Sai Baba knew everything, Kaka did not inform him of his disease, thinking that Baba would of his own cure it soon. The work of constructing the pavement in front of the masjid was permitted by Baba, but when the actual work began, Baba got wild and shouted out loudly. Everybody ran away, and as Kaka was also doing the same, Baba caught hold of him and made him sit there. In the confusion that followed, somebody left there a small pouch of ground nuts. Baba took a handful of ground nuts, rubbed them in his hands, blew away the skin, and gave the clean nuts to Kaka and made him eat them. Scolding and cleaning the nuts and making Kaka eat them went on simultaneously. Baba himself ate some of them. Then, when the nuts were finished, Baba asked him to fetch water as he felt thirsty. Kaka went and brought a pitcher full of water. Baba drank some water and made Kaka also drink it. Baba declared, "Now your diarrhea has stopped, and you may attend to the work of the pavement." In the meanwhile, other persons who had run away returned and started the work, and Kaka, whose motions had stopped, also joined them. Are groundnuts medicines for diarrhea? According to current medical opinion, groundnuts would aggravate the disease and not cure it. The true medicine in this, as in other cases, was Baba's word. Dattopant of Harda. A gentleman from Harda, by name Dattopant, suffered from stomachache for about 14 years. None of the remedies gave him any relief. Then, on hearing Baba's fame that he cures diseases by sight, he ran to Shirdi and fell at Baba's feet. Baba looked at him and gave him his blessings. When Baba placed his hand on his head, and when he got Baba's udi with blessings, he felt relieved and there was no further trouble about the malady. Towards the end of this chapter, three cases are cited in footnotes. Madhav Rao Deshpande suffered from piles. Baba gave him decoction of Sonamukhi, which is senna pods. This relieved him. Then, after 2 years, the trouble recurred, and Madhav Rao took the same decoction without consulting Baba. The result was that the disease aggravated, but later on was cured by Baba's grace. Kaka Mahajani's elder brother, Gangadhar Pant, suffered for many years from stomach pain. Hearing Baba's fame, he came to Shirdi and requested Baba to cure him. Baba touched his belly and said, "God will cure." From that time, there was no stomach pain and he was completely cured. Nana Saheb Chandurkar also once suffered from acute stomach pain. He was restless the whole day and night. Doctors administered syringes which produced no effect. Then he approached Baba, who told him to eat barfi mixed with ghee. This recipe gave him complete relief. All these stories show that the real medicine that cured the various diseases permanently was Baba's word and grace, and not any medicines or drugs. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 14. Ratanji Wadia of Nanded, Saint Moli Sahib, Dakshina Mimansa. In the last chapter, we described how Baba's word and grace cured many incurable diseases. Now we shall describe how Baba blessed Mr. Ratanji Wadia and gave him an issue. The life of this saint is naturally sweet. His various doings, eating, walking, and his natural sayings are also sweet. His life is bliss incarnate. Sai gave the bliss to his devotees as a means of remembrance. He gave them various stories of duty and action which ultimately led to their true religion. His object may be that people should live happily in this world, but they should be ever cautious and achieve the object of their life, which is self-realization. We get human body as a result of merits and past births, and it is worthwhile that, with its aid, we should attain devotion and liberation in this life. So we should never be lazy, but always on the alert to gain our goal of life. If you hear the leelas of Sai daily, you will always see him. Day and night, you will remember him in your mind. When you assimilate Sai in this way, your mind will lose its fickleness, and if you go on in this manner, it will be finally merged in pure consciousness. Ratanji of Nanded. Now let us come to the main story of this chapter. In Nanded, in the Nizam state, there lived a Parsi mill contractor and trader by name Ratanji Shapurji Wadia. He had amassed a large amount of money and had acquired fields and lands. He had cattle, horses, conveyance, and was very prosperous. In all outward appearances, he looked very happy and contented, but inwardly, he was not so. Providential dispensation is such that no one in this world is completely happy. And rich Ratanji was no exception to this. He was liberal and charitable, gave food and clothing to the poor, and helped everyone in various ways. The people took him to be a good and happy man. But Ratanji thought himself miserable, as he had no issue, male or female, for a very long time. Just as kirtan without love or devotion, song without rhythmical accompaniments, Brahman without the sacred thread, proficiency in all the arts without common sense, pilgrimage without repentance, and ornamentation without a necklace, are futile and useless, so is a householder without an issue. Ratanji always brooded on this matter and said in his mind, "Would God be ever pleased to grant me a son?" He thus looked morose and did not relish his food. Day and night he was enveloped with anxiety as to whether he would be ever blessed with a son. He had a great regard for Das Ganu Maharaj. He saw him and opened his heart before him. Das Ganu advised him to go to Shirdi and take Baba's darshan, fall at his feet and seek his blessings and pray for an issue. Ratanji liked the idea and decided to go to Shirdi. After some days, he went to Shirdi, took Baba's darshan and fell at his feet. Then opening a basket, he took out a beautiful garland of flowers and placed it around Baba's neck and offered him a basket of fruits. With reverence, he then sat near Baba and prayed to him, saying, "Many persons who find themselves in difficult situations come to you, and you relieve them immediately. Hearing this, I have anxiously sought your feet. Please do not disappoint me." Sai Baba then asked him for dakshina of 5 rupees, which Ratanji intended to give, but added that he had already received 1 rupee and 16 anas from him and that he should pay the balance only. Hearing this, Ratanji was rather puzzled. He could not make out as to what Baba meant. That was the first time he thought that he had come to Shirdi, and how was it that Baba said he had earlier got 1 rupee and 16 anas from him? He could not solve the riddle, but he sat at Baba's feet and gave him the balance of the dakshina that Baba had asked him and explained to Baba fully as to why he came and sought his help and prayed that Baba should bless him with a son. Baba was moved and told him not to worry, and that from then on his bad days had ended. He then gave him udi, placed his hand on his head and blessed him, saying Allah would satisfy his heart's desire. After taking Baba's leave, Ratanji returned to Nanded and told Das Ganu everything that took place at Shirdi. He said that everything went on well there, that he had got Baba's darshan and blessing with prasad, but there was one thing which he could not understand. Baba said to him that he had got rupees 1 and 16 anas before. "Please explain as to what Baba meant by this remark." He said to Das Ganu, "I never went to Shirdi before, so how could I have given him the sum to which Baba referred?" To Das Ganu too it was a puzzle, and he thought much over it for a long time. Sometime later it struck him that Ratanji had received some days ago a Muslim saint by name Mauli Sahib in his house and had spent some money for his reception. This Mauli Sahib was a well-known saint of Nanded and worked as a porter. When Ratanji decided to go to Shirdi, this Mauli Sahib had turned up at Ratanji's house. Ratanji knew him and loved him, so he gave a small party in his honor. Das Ganu got from Ratanji the yadi or memo of expense of this reception. And everybody was wonderstruck to see that the expenses amounted exactly to 1 rupee and 16 anna, nothing more, nothing less. They all came to know that Baba was omniscient, that though he lived in Shirdi, he knew what happened outside, far away from Shirdi. In fact, he knew the past, present and the future, and could identify himself with anybody. In this particular instance, how could he know then the reception given to Mauli Sahib and the amount spent therefore, unless he could identify himself with him and be one with him? Ratanji was satisfied with this explanation, and his faith in Baba was confirmed and increased. In due time, he was blessed with a son, and his joy knew no bounds. It is said that he had in all 12 issues, out of which only 4 survived. In a footnote towards the end of this chapter, it is stated that Baba told Rao Bahadur Hari Vinayak Sate, after the death of his first wife, to remarry, and that he would get a son. R.B. Sate married second time. The first 2 issues by this wife were daughters, and he therefore felt very despondent. But the 3rd issue was a son. Baba's words did come true and he was satisfied. Dakshina Mimansa. Now we shall close this chapter with a few points about Dakshina. It is well known fact that Baba always asked for Dakshina from people who went to see him. Somebody may ask a question, if Baba was a fakir and perfectly non-attached, why should he ask for dakshina and care for money? we shall consider this question broadly now. First, for a long time, Baba did not take anything. He stored burnt matches and filled his pocket with them. He never asked anything from anybody, whether he be a devotee or otherwise. If anybody placed before him a paisa or two, he purchased oil or tobacco. He was fond of tobacco, for he always smoked a bidi or chillum. Then some persons thought they should not go to saints empty-handed, and therefore placed some copper coins before Baba. If a paisa was placed before him, he used to pocket it. If it was a 2 paisa coin, it was returned immediately. Then, after Baba's fame had spread far and wide, people began to flock in numbers, and Baba began to ask dakshina from them. It is said in the Shruti that puja of the gods is not complete unless a golden coin is offered. If a coin was necessary in the puja of the gods, why should it be not so in the puja of the saints also? Ultimately, the Shastras laid it down that when one goes to see God, king, saint or guru, he should not go empty-handed. He should offer something, preferably money. In this connection, we may notice the precepts recommended by the Upanishads. The Brihadaranyak Upanishad says that Lord Prajapati advised the gods, men and demons by one letter, Da. The gods understood by this letter that though they should practice Dhamma, that is self-control, the men thought or understood that they should practice Dana, that is charity. The demons understood that they should practice Daya, which is compassion. To men, charity or giving was recommended. The teacher in the Taittiriya Upanishad exhorts his pupil to practice charity and other virtues. Regarding charity, he says, give with faith, and even without it, give with magnanimity, give with modesty, awe and sympathy. In order to teach the devotees the lesson of charity and to remove their attachment to money and thus to purify their minds, Baba extracted dakshina from them, but there was this peculiarity. As Baba said, he had to give back 100 times more of what he received. There are many instances in which this has happened. To quote an instance, Mr. Ganpat Rao Bodas, the famous actor, says in his Marathi autobiography that on Baba's pressing him often for dakshina, he emptied his money bag before him. The result of this was, as Mr. Bodas says, in later life, he never lacked money, as it came to him abundantly. There were also secondary meanings of dakshina, in many cases in which Baba did not want any amount. To quote 2 instances, Baba asked 15 rupees as dakshina from Professor G.G. Narke, who replied that he did not have even a pie. Then Baba said, I know you have no money, but you are reading Yoga Vashishtha. Give me dakshina from that. Giving dakshina in this case meant deriving lessons from the book and lodging them in the heart where Baba resides. In the second case, Baba asked a certain lady, Mrs. R. A. Tarkhad, to give 6 rupees as dakshina. The lady felt pained as she had nothing to give. Then her husband explained to her that Baba wanted 6 inner enemies to be surrendered to him. Baba agreed with this explanation. It is to be noted that though Baba collected a lot of money by dakshina, he would distribute the whole amount the same day, and the next morning he would become a poor fakir as usual. When Baba took his Mahasamadhi, even after receiving thousands and thousands of rupees as dakshina for about 10 years, he had only a few rupees in his possession. In short, Baba's main object in taking the dakshina from his devotees was to teach them the lessons of renunciation and purification. Postscript. Mr. B. V. Dev of Thana, retired Mamlatdar and a great devotee of Baba, has written an article on this subject of dakshina in Sri Sai Leela magazine, in which he says as follows. Baba did not ask dakshina from all. If some gave dakshina unasked, he sometimes accepted it. and at other times refused it. He asked it from certain devotees only. He never demanded it from those devotees who thought in their minds that Baba should ask for it and then they should pay. If anybody offered it against his wish, he never touched it and he kept it there. He asked him to take it away even. He asked for small or big amounts from devotees according to their wish, devotion and convenience. He asked it even from women and children. He never asked from all the rich for it, nor from all the poor. Baba never got angry with those from whom he asked Dakshina and who did not give it. If any Dakshina was sent through some friend and who forgot to hand over the same to Baba, he reminded him of it and made him pay it. On some occasions, Baba used to return some money from the amount tendered as Dakshina and ask the donor to guard it or keep it in his shrine for worship. This procedure benefited the donor or devotee immensely. If anyone offered more than he originally intended to give, Baba would return the extra amount. Sometimes he asked more Dakshina from some than what they originally intended to give. And if they had no money, asked them to beg or borrow from others. From some, he demanded Dakshina 3 or 4 times in one day. Out of the amount collected as Dakshina, Baba spent very little for his own sake, for buying chillum and fuel for his dhuni, and all the rest he distributed as charity in varying proportions to various persons. All the paraphernalia of the Shirdi Sansthan was brought by various rich devotees at the instance and suggestion of Radha Krishnamai. Baba always used to get wild and scolded those who brought any costly and rich articles. He said to Mr. Nana Saheb Chandorkar that all his property consisted of one cow pen, one stray piece of cloth, one kafni, and a tin pot, and that all the people troubled him with bringing these unnecessary costly articles. Woman and wealth are the two main obstacles in the way of our spiritual life. And Baba had provided in Shirdi 2 institutions, Dakshina and Radha Krishnamai, for whenever they came to him, he demanded Dakshina from them and asked them to go to the school, which was Radha Krishnamai's house. If they stood these 2 tests well, that is, if they showed that they were free from attachment for woman and wealth, their progress in spirituality was rapid and assured by Baba's grace and blessings. Mr. Dev has also quoted passages from the Gita and Upanishads and shown that charity given in a holy place or to a holy person conduces to the donor's welfare. What is more holy than Shirdi and its presiding deity, Sai Baba? Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Welcome to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Professor Hemalata, who is with us in the studio of Radio Sai today, has had an illustrious career. After obtaining her MA and PhD degrees in Telugu literature from Osmania University, Hyderabad, she worked in the erstwhile Sri Sathya Sai Arts and Science College for Women, Anantapur, almost from its inception in 1968. She retired as Professor of Telugu and Principal of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus, in 1999. She is a member of the boards of studies of several universities in India. She has classified and compiled the poems Bhagwan sings in the beginning of the Divine Discourses in a volume entitled Subodha. She has also translated 5 books on Swami from English to Telugu. She was the recipient of the Best Teacher's Award given by the government of Andhra Pradesh in 1979. Above all, Professor Hemalata comes from a traditional Brahmin family and has deep roots in Indian culture and tradition. She won the appreciation of audiences everywhere when she gave talks on learned and religious subjects. Welcome, ma'am, to the studio of Radio Sai Global Harmony.
Sai Ram, thank you very much for the kind introduction you have made.
We are very happy that you have taken our invitation and come here, ma'am. Please tell our listeners first how you came to Bhagwan and when you heard about him.
Very nice question. I think we will start with a prayer.
Yes, that would be appropriate.
Humble prayer to the universal teacher and who is the source of the entire wisdom, Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba.
Jnanaanandamayam Devam Nirmalam Sphatikakrutim Aadharam Sarvavidyanam Sainatham Upasmahe.
With this humble prayer, I would like to mention first that I am attracted towards Bhagavan as the best universal teacher. Unlike many people, I did not come to his fold as a devotee first. Neither I was attracted merely by his miracles. I will tell you how it happened that I was in Anantapur College. That was June-July 1968. I was staying at Rajendranagar, 10 kilometers away from Hyderabad. One morning, I happened to go to my parents at Himayat Nagar, Hyderabad. My parents, Dr. J.V.R. Sharma and Rukmini Sharma. They were about to go somewhere. My mother, who was happy on seeing me, asked me to accompany them as they were going to have darshan of Bhagavan, Sri Sathya Sai Baba. I was absolutely unaware of who he is. My mother said that one of my father's friends, Dr. Bapiraju, is taking them to Bhagavan as they were also new at that time. Bhagavan happened to visit Hyderabad at the time on his way back from Bombay soon after the inauguration of Dharmakshetra. I was reluctant and refused to go of course, to my misfortune, as I later realized. Subsequently, my mother told me that Bhagawan graced an interview to my parents on that day.
So you missed that also.
Yes. This was the first instance of my hearing about Bhagawan. But as I said, to my misfortune, I did not pay much cognizance to it and forgot about it temporarily. Sooner, that is in the first week of August 1968, my husband, Dr. B. Srinivas, happened to leave to Gujarat on some deputation for his higher studies. It was in a mysterious way my coming to Bhagawan's fold happened during that month. On the evening...
This is August.
Yes, August. August 1968. On 12th of August, myself and my father happened to go to my professor, late Divakarla Venkatavadhani Garu, who was an ardent devotee of Bhagawan Baba. I told my professor, whom I was treating as my father, about my husband's going to Gujarat for 2 years. Immediately, he said, "I think Swami is working it out on in his own way."
You didn't understand what he meant.
I was perplexed. I asked him, "What does he mean?" He said, "All these days you have been refusing to work in any college outside Hyderabad, as your husband is working here. Now that, anyway, he is not here for 2 years, would you like to go and work in Sri Satya Sai College for Anantapur?"
Sri Satya Sai Arts and Science College.
Arts and Science College for Women at Anantapur. He continued saying, "The managing committee people asked me to send a suitable candidate to work as a lecturer in Telugu. Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba is the founder president for this college. I am sure," he said, this statement of my professor I can never forget. He said, "I am sure you would like Bhagawan and Bhagawan likes you. As I know you personally," he said, "I am confident that I will be sending a suitable candidate for his college. Hitherto, as I did not know about the possibility of your going out of Hyderabad, and as I was not able to think of any other suitable candidate, I was almost deciding to send a retired gentleman."
Because it's a women's college.
Yes, it's a women's college. So he said, "You have come in time. If you go, it would be good." This is the reason why I said, my professor told, that Swami is working it out in his own way.
That's beautiful.
But let me tell you,
you are not very...
Even after hearing all this, maybe with all the fear to go and stay in an unknown place with 2 little children and an aged sick mother-in-law, I hesitated to agree. But my father intervened. He advised me not to refuse. I explained the situation to my mother-in-law, and there too Swami's will made her give her acceptance in the last minute. I'm sure the same will made the head of the institution where I was working at the time understand the circumstances and accept my resignation forthwith, though with a heavy heart.
Where were you working, ma'am, before?
I was working in Nrupatunga Junior College at Hyderabad.
Mm-hmm.
I could not even inform my husband at Gujarat, as all the telephone lines were disrupted due to heavy floods at that time. It happened like this. Against all these odds, I happened to go and receive the appointment order the next day. That was 13th of August. From the then honorary secretary and correspondent of the college, who was at Hyderabad.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite unique that after receiving the appointment order, I gave an application just to fulfill the formality.
So it went in reverse.
Yes, it went in reverse. I was asked to go and join at least by 18th of August. That means hardly four days.
Yes.
I arrived at Anantapur on 18th morning and reported myself to duty immediately. There, I saw for the first time a full-length picture of Bhagwan, which kindled inquisitive feeling to know about him. Of course, the college officially started to work from 22nd July, but the admissions were still going on, and I started my teaching from 18th August onwards.
When did you have Bhagwan's darshan for the first time, ma'am?
That again happened only in the college. Just after a week or 10 days after my joining, Swami came to the college. It was really a miraculous thing that has happened. Swami's car entered the campus. At that time, the college was situated in some temporary buildings in the campus of the government high school,
In Anantapur town.
Anantapur town. Swami's car stopped just before the classroom where I was teaching.
So you saw him from the window?
I was standing in the classroom. Swami's car stopped and Swami was in the car. I saw Swami like this. It's a very, very peculiar thing. Sitting in the car itself, Swami blessed me and moved on to go to the principal's office.
Mm-hmm.
This day is the very sacred day as I had the first darshan of Swami. That same day, in the evening, I had the fortune of listening to his divine discourse too. That incident had the first reverential imprint in my heart. I'll tell you how it happened. We, the staff members and students, were waiting for Swami's arrival. It was delayed by a few minutes. By a few minutes, mind you.
This was in the evening of the
evening,
same day?
In the evening of the same day. Some people started grumbling and passing on some undesirable comments.
Saying that Bhagwan was delayed.
Bhagwan is delaying, what is this, Indian punctuality, etc., etc. Though I was absolutely new, I could not appreciate that adverse criticism. I thought, why do these people talk like this? Can't they wait for 10 minutes for the arrival of the founder president of the college where they are working? While these thoughts were going on in my mind, Swami arrived. As he was walking in, he went on explaining the reasons for the delay. I was absolutely moved with this incident. What a great lesson. Being the highest authority of the college, by that time, of course...
He need not have given an explanation for coming late.
He need not have given, definitely. By that time, the concept of his divinity, though it was not there in me...
Yes, not yet so deep.
I was regarding him as the founder president, that's all. But I thought, there is absolutely no reason for his explaining why he is delayed. Don't we see many so-called leaders arriving for meetings late by hours together?
Mm.
Do they have any concern for the people waiting for them? With these thoughts, I learnt my first lesson at the lotus feet, realizing that greatness lies in humility. From that moment, Swami taught me innumerable things, both directly and indirectly also.
What was it that really drew you to Swami?
No, this miracle which I was speaking of, it is not the end of it.
Oh.
I listened to his divine discourse with rapt attention. At the end of his discourse, Swami created Vibhuti and gave it to the then principal. While I was witnessing it with great amazement and reverence, Bhagwan looked at me and said, "Oh, you have come. I am very happy." He continued saying, "Governing body selected someone and I said no to it. I told them that I have a candidate of my choice. You have come. I am happy." I did not understand the head or tail of this divine statement. I just kept quiet. After nearly 1 year, mind you, after 1 year, I came to know the secret of this. By that time, that was July 1969, I was holding the additional charge of the post of the principal. The selections for some vacancies were being held in July 1969. One of the applicants for the post of an assistant lecturer in Telugu happened to be my classmate in MA at Usmania University. After the interviews were over, she told me that she appeared for an interview for the post in 1968 and waited for the result for a long time.
She didn't get the reply.
Swami's miracle worked out. As she did not hear from the college, thinking that she was not selected, joined some other college at Vijayawada and signing a bond for serving at least for an year. Just after a few minutes after she signed, she received an appointment order from the management of Bhagwan's college. Mm. The postal department obeyed the command of the unseen hand
of Swami.
And it took more than 20 days for a letter to reach from Anantapur to Vijayawada, which are in the same state.
It's all Swami's work.
This is how Swami says, yes or no, as per His will. Swami made me understand the mysterious way He works and realize how insignificant we are before the divinity.
Yes.
This is how I have come to His fold, as I said, in a very mysterious manner.
So, ma'am, you were saying that when you came to Swami, you were came with a fresh mind. You had no preconceived notions about Swami. So what is it that I was asking you? What is it that really drew you to Swami? What attracted you to Swami?
As I said,
in the beginning you said that it's not the miracles.
It is not the miracles. I joined the college and I was carrying out my duties. And I told you the first incident that has happened. Gradually, I was developing an interest to know about Bhagavan. The events also took place like that.
Accordingly, yes.
During September 68, the principal told me to speak about Bhagavan to the students for an hour, 1 hour, on a coming Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
One can understand how much one should know to speak about any topic for 1 hour. I came to the college, as I said, like a clean slate. Therefore, I requested the principal to give me some reading material so that I can prepare for the talk. She gave me Satyam Shivam Sundaram and also Satya Sai Speaks. At that time, there were only 5 volumes published
of Satya Sai Speaks.
Somehow, Satya Sai Speaks volumes attracted me.
They appealed to you more than the life story.
That's why first I started reading those volumes. I wanted to know what Swami says.
His teachings.
What Swami teaches. It's not really an exaggeration that I could not, I'll tell you, I could not sleep until I finished all the 5 volumes.
In one night?
Not one night, of course, 2 to 3 nights,
but
continuously, without sleep.
You've read all the volumes.
Daytime working in the college, I read all the 5 volumes. I was so drawn to it. Shortly after that, Mother's Day was celebrated in the college. Of course, Swami named it like that, Mother's Day, in lieu of Parents' Day, as usual it is celebrated elsewhere. We were all excited to receive Swami. Swami came along with a few guests.
Mother's Day, what day was that?
It was in October 1968.
Swami just fixed one day.
He just fixed one day. At that time, it was not very formal. See, Swami used to come in a very informal way to the college. There were hardly 120 students.
You just drive
and
in one day.
Eight staff members. That was the situation. As soon as Swami got down from the car, seeing me, he commanded that I should speak in that day's meeting, which was, it was going to begin immediately. It was absolutely unexpected for me. I felt very nervous. Soon after the welcome address by the principal, I was asked to speak. By that time, though I was very much attracted by the discourses I read, the divinity aspect of Swami did not still blossom in my heart. As I was in that state of mind, I could not address Swami as Bhagavan, nor I could say pranams at the lotus feet, etc., etc., like how we say today.
Yes, today.
I just remember very much, very well I remember. I just addressed saying, I offer my respects and regards to Sri Satya Sai Baba Garu, who is the embodiment of the entire Indian wisdom, Bharatiya Vijnana.
Oh, but I think Swami liked the honesty.
Bharatiya Vijnana Sarvaswaniki Pratinidhulaina Baba Gariki Namaskaram. I just said like that in Telugu. And I spoke about, of course, the significance of mother in Indian culture, etc. Swami, why I am telling this? Swami was immensely pleased and said, whatever came from the bottom of your heart, you spoke. I am very happy. Why I am saying this is, later some people said that I should not have addressed Swami like what I did. But I was happy for Swami's appreciation.
No, and Swami, I think, liked that honesty.
Yes.
Instead of putting on a kind of a show as if you are very devoted, what you felt from the heart, you said.
Because He is the one who knows our heart.
Yes. Tell us some of your early experiences, ma'am, in the college.
The beginning years, that was 68 to 74 or like that, so many incidents happened which transformed my personality. I can never forget those wonderful moments I had with Swami during the early years. It was April 1969. 8 months, just after, 8 months after my joining the college. And it was summer vacation. One afternoon, the college pune comes to my house with a letter, which says that I have to take additional charge as principal.
April 1969, just after eight months after my joining, all of a sudden,
I received a letter. I was really shocked. I decided that I cannot undertake such a big responsibility. I was hardly 28 year old at the time. And then immediately I went to a local telephone booth because I didn't have even a telephone at my house in those days. And I told that senior gentleman who signed that letter and sent it that I hesitated to obey his orders. He told me that, Ma, it was under Swami's command I have sent that letter. He also said that when Swami wills, He makes His selected instruments carry out the tasks He wants to be fulfilled. That means He makes us His instruments and He sees that the work is done.
His work is done.
There was no option for me. I only prayed to him that I do not fail in putting in my best efforts and in rising up to his expectation. Of course, by that time, I was blessed with a strong conviction about Bhagavan's divinity.
So how is it that you began to believe in Bhagavan's divinity?
As I said, his teachings attracted me. Moreover, a few incidents in my personal life happened. My husband and children, when they were stuck in a cyclone and a train accident in March 1969, they were saved miraculously.
By Swami.
I don't want to go into the details. When I started narrating or just telling about this to Swami during April, he himself told me what all happened.
So that gave you the proof that he did it.
He is the one who saved them. Like this, I'll also tell you one thing. I never touched his feet till July 1969. That was the first time when I had all my conviction that he is God.
That you touched his feet.
I prayed to him, Swami, can I do namaskar? Swami said, do Bangaru, if not for you, whom else? This is how many incidents took place later. I definitely believed in him.
That he is divine.
He is divine. God.
Ma'am, you joined the college at Anantapur from 1968. Therefore, yes. What better person can we have than you to give us a brief history of the college? Please share with us what you think was Bhagwan's vision when he started these educational institutions. Did Swami talk about his vision to you at any time?
Sure. I'll tell you. Swami gives a lot of importance to education, as all of us know. He gives great importance to education. What is the type of education he wants? First, we should know about it. As you know, you must have heard a poem.
Vishve shanti niche kurtsu vidhamunerpi sankuchita bhavamula nella samaya jesi aikamatyamu sahajivanadhikamula nerpuna devitya.
This means, education should teach the way by which global peace can be attained. This is the most essential.
That's the vision of Swami.
Aspect. Yes. This is the greatest problem of the entire world today.
Lack of peace.
Yes. He says, true education should eradicate the narrow-minded feelings from our minds and inculcate unity and cooperation.
Excellent.
What a broad vision it is.
Yes.
It's not for adding one more institution to the existing ones, but it is to train and mold the youth in the right path that Bhagavan established this college. Amnayanam ananugamanat Bhrashtamargeva Vidya. Ramayana says this. Vidya, that is education, goes astray if it does not follow the Vedic path, that is Sanatana Dharma. Swami has taken this great responsibility of bringing back Sanatana Dharma to its pristine glory upon him. In this context, Swami wrote a few letters to me, and in those letters, he mentioned what type of education he wants. I think it would be of great interest to the audience.
Definitely, they would benefit a lot, the listeners of Radio Sai.
I'm reading a few excerpts from 2-3 letters. Of course.
Ma'am, you read it in the original Telugu and then translate it for
do
us.
I?
Please,
okay.
Please do that.
నీలమేఘములకు వెనుక నిండుకాంతితో కనిపించు మించువలే హృదయాకాశాన విద్యామేఘములలో జ్ఞానదీపిక ప్రకాశించవలెను. అట్టి జ్ఞానదీపికలు లేని విద్య అజ్ఞానాంధకారముతో పొగమేఘము వలె ఉండును. ఇట్ మీన్స్ జస్ట్ యాజ్ ద లైట్నింగ్ షైన్స్ ఇన్ ద మిడ్స్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద థిక్ డార్క్ రెయిన్ బేరింగ్ క్లౌడ్స్, sparkling wisdom should shine in the clouds of knowledge. Education without wisdom is useless, like dry, empty clouds. పూర్వము అనుభవజ్ఞులైన పెద్దలు చెప్పిన చదువుకున్నవాడికంటే చాకలివాడు మేలు అనే సూక్తి అక్షరాలా సత్యం. చదువులకు, నిత్య జీవితమునందలి లౌకిక వ్యవస్థలకు, దట్ ఈస్ స్వామి మెన్షన్స్ ఇన్ బ్రాకెట్ యాజ్ జనరల్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఎంతో వ్యత్యాసము. అది లేని చదువులు చెత్త చదువులు. దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ సేయింగ్ ఇన్ తెలుగు, ఎ వాష్ మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ బెటర్ దాన్ ఎన్ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ మ్యాన్. దట్ ఈస్ మియర్ బుకిష్ నాలెడ్జ్ వితౌట్ జనరల్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ కామన్ సెన్స్ ఈజ్ షియర్ వేస్ట్.
స్వామి స్ట్రెసెస్ ఆన్ జనరల్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ కామన్
సెన్స్. ఇట్స్ information that the books give.
Sometimes those who are literate or are so-called educated, yes, even they lack common sense. And that's why he's emphasizing
some. And we all know, Swami, what he talks of educare.
Of course.
And Swami, in the some other letter, he mentions, Chittamunu mettaparachani, hrudayamunu shuddhiparachani, manasunu madhuramuga cheyani, panulalo sahanamu chupani chadulu, pottakuti chadulu. భిక్షగాంట్లకు పొట్ట నిండుట లేదా? పొట్టకై ఇంత చదువులు చదువవలనా? సచ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ హుచ్ డస్ నాట్ టచ్ ద సాఫ్ట్ కార్నర్స్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ మైండ్స్ అండ్ హుచ్ డస్ నాట్ ప్యూరిఫై అవర్ హార్ట్స్ కెన్ నాట్ బి కాల్డ్ యాజ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్. ఎడ్యుకేషన్ షుడ్ మేక్ పీపుల్ టు బి కర్టియస్ అండ్ టాలరెంట్. అదర్వైజ్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్లీ గ్యాదరింగ్ సమ్ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ టు గెట్ సమ్ డిగ్రీస్ అండ్ ఎర్న్ సమ్ లివింగ్. Even beggars can earn to fill their stomachs. Just for that, we need not study so much. Swami goes on saying about education like this. Chaduvaralalo chillara bhavamulunduta Saraswatike agauravamu. Drastically, he goes to this extent.
It's a disgrace.
He says it is a disrespect and disgrace to the goddess of education, Saraswati, if educated people have bad qualities.
My God.
Very forcefully he says.
Very, yes. Very firm.
Very firm. Satyamu, sahanamu, sanubhuti, nirahankaramulu leni, MLU, MSCLU, PhDLU, talabharapu motalu. He says it is an unnecessary burden to have high degrees like MA, MSc, PhD, etc. If one doesn't have virtues like truth, forbearance, compassion and humility.
So right from then, you know, the seeds of the present educare have been sown by Swami.
We do not know.
You are really so fortunate, ma'am, to have received even these letters, and Swami has shared his vision with you.
That is my fortune.
Of course, definitely.
And Swami goes on saying, especially about education for women and women, how they should conduct themselves.
Please tell us, ma'am, what he says about that.
Because Bhagavan, as you know, started
a women's college first.
In one of his letters he says, Lokamunaku adharapu sthanamulu stri hrudayalu. Woman is the foundation for the society and her heart is the source for virtues. Atyuttama ashayalato sthapinchinadi ee kalashala. Explaining why he established this college, he says, I established this college with a great hope and vision. Irshya dveshamulu avala netti, ahankara adambaramulu kattakatti samudramuna netti, sahana sannihityalato, shanti premalato, okarikokaru melagavalasina kalashala idi. He says, here people should abandon all bad qualities like jealousy, hatred, ego, exhibitionism, etc. They should work with mutual cooperation, he says. Mana kalashala anni rangamulayendu uttama adarshamu nandinchavalanani naa talampu. This is the high expectation of Swami. He says, I expect this college to be ideal in all fields. Neeti nijayitilato, gaurava maryadalato, saushilya sampradayamulanu nilabettatalanchi, ee samsthanu sthapimpapunu kontini. I establish this college with an intention of keeping up all moral standards and bring respect and honor to the woman with sincerity so that our great tradition is revived.
One feels humble before this noble vision.
This is how he started this college, and being the instruments in his great mission is itself a great fortune, and at the same time it's a great responsibility.
One wonders whether one can even fulfill those expectations, and Swami's aspirations are so
very
high.
Very difficult, and one should dedicate their lives fulfill this.
Ma'am, you joined the college at Anantapur from 1968. Give us a brief history of the college.
Sri Sachisai College for Women at Anantapur was the first in the chain of his educational institutions, I already told you. Bhagavan always says that if a woman is educated, the entire family will not only be educated, but all the members of the family will turn out to be good citizens. With this intention, he started Women's College first. This college was then affiliated to Sri Venkateshwara University, Tirupati. Though in the first 3 years, it was run in some temporary buildings, by July 1971, the new buildings were constructed in a huge campus of 115 acres.
Away from the town.
Away from the town. All facilities like hostel, library, a beautiful auditorium, a spacious playgrounds, all are provided. Mm. Apart from this is the most important thing, the infrastructure Swami has provided, but apart from the routine academic program, the students were slowly introduced to universal prayers both in the morning and evening.
Universal prayer both morning and evening?
And evening.
Ma'am, do you remember those prayers? I'm sure it's not the same one that we're singing now. Now we sing the Sarvadharma prayer.
Of course, I do remember. We used to pray to the Lord Supreme to lead us on the good path before we start our daily routine. The prayer
in the morning?
In the morning, it was going like this. Twamadi deva purusha purana twamasya vishwasya param nithanam vetasi vedyancha parancha dhama twaya tatam vishwamanantarupa. Oh, the primordial Lord, you are the source for this universe, the all-knowing. And we also used to sing, Twameva mata cha pita twameva, twameva bandhuscha sakha twameva, twameva vidya dravinam twameva, twameva sarvam mama deva deva. You
this
are
was in
my
the
mother.
Morning.
Yes, in the morning. Yes. We used to recite this. I think you all know the meaning of this.
But please tell, ma'am.
You are my mother, O Lord. You are my mother, my father, my friend and relative. You are the education and you are the treasure. You are everything to me, O Lord. No particular name, no particular form. Any religion. See, people of
students from any religion could
can think of
their own chosen deity.
Because for everyone it is the same feeling.
Then what about the prayer in the evening?
In the evening we used to say, Vishwani deva savitar duritani parasuva yad bhadram tanna asuva bhadram karnebhi shruniyama devaha bhadram pasyema akshabhir yajatraha
സ്ഥിരൈരംഗൈ തുഷ്ടുവാംസസ്തനുഭിഃ വ്യശേമ ദേവഹിതം യദായുഃ തഥാകൃതം ദേവ യഥൈവ കാരിതം തഥാമതം ദേവ യഥൈവ ജ്ഞാപിതം തഥോദിതം ദേവ യഥൈവ വാദിതം സമാപ്തമത്രൈവ വിഭോ ദിനവ്രതം. See, this meaning goes like this. O Lord, pardon all our sins and bless us. Make us listen good, see good and do good with this able body so that we can make you happy. O Lord, I acted as you made me act. I thought as you made me think. I spoke as you made me speak. That means you are the doer. I am the one who did it. I am bringing my daily routine to close.
So that was an appropriate prayer for the evening.
Yes.
Because, you know, you ask the Lord for pardon.
Yes.
If any mistakes have been made. So this prayer was chosen by Swami?
Yes, of course.
And ma'am, in the morning the prayer used to probably take place in the college building. What about in the evening? That is when the bell goes at 4 o'clock,
yes.
Then all the students used to assemble and then recite this prayer and then go back to their hostel or homes or whatever.
Yes. All after all the daily routine, that is, academic classes were over. We used to assemble everyone.
Once again.
Yes, once again.
And then sing this.
This is a very, very unique one.
Yes,
nowhere
very
you can
unique.
See.
That's
morning
why I'm
prayer
asking
can
you.
Be seen in some institutions.
Mm.
But prayer in the evening
is
not very common.
Yes.
Swami guided us so that moral and spiritual aspects of our Indian culture are clubbed with the teaching of academic syllabus.
Yes.
That is a very important thing.
Mm.
With such training, we try to see that the integrated personality of the youth is blossomed.
Yes.
Gradually, the college earned good results, of course, and a very good name in the university. It was given a special status of being the lead college. They used to call it as lead college.
Lead college.
From the year 1977. I have taken charge as principal. In 1974.
1969?
69 I was made in charge for 2-3 months. And then, because I was not having enough experience to be the principal, Swami made me the vice principal.
And then,
he made me the regular principal from 1974.
So within 3 years, the college became a lead college.
Yes, college became a lead college in 1977. The strength also went on increasing from 120 in 1968 to 1250 by 1977-78. Watching this wonderful performance of the college, Andhra Pradesh state government offered autonomous status to the college in the year 79-80. But Bhagwan had his own way of working. He thought of having not merely an autonomous status, but to have his own university. This divine will took shape in 1 year, and by a special act of University Grants Commission, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, the deemed university has been formed in November 1981.
I think, ma'am, when he opened the college in 1968, if I'm not mistaken, he made a reference to that in the divine discourse, that this college will form the seed for a future university.
Yes. When he was inaugurating the college at Anantapur,
Then he said, that's what.
This gradually becomes a university.
So right then he had envisioned and it took shape in 1981.
The divine vision, nobody could believe that an ordinary affiliated college
would become
started
a
in a such a miniature scale will become and will develop into a university.
And of now course, it has attained a global reputation.
Yes. Excellent. Of course, when it was a college itself, the university sanctioned postgraduate classes in 1972. Postgraduate classes in Telugu literature were started first. And in later, PG classes in home science
philosophy and English literature were added after the institute has come into
has been formed.
Sai Ram, what you just heard was the first part of a conversation with Professor Mrs. Hemalata, the former principal of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus. In conversation with her was Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. Dear listener, you could email us your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us your feedback to this number 9393258258. With this, we come to the end of this morning segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam. It's me, Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with a segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.
Gajanana Shri Ganaraya Adi Vandu Tuzamuraya
Gajanana Shri Ganaraya Adi Vandu.